Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio of ATP Channel. This is Annie Cyrus, your host. Let me first start by saying I'm sorry for such a long, long delay on me coming back on air. For those of you who have been somehow not in the loop, we have been making major changes at ATP, American Truth Project. On that note, being the national director, I was pretty busy. But I am back, and hopefully we are going to continue bringing you my radio program every Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Let me give you one more information before I get to all the fun stuff that I'm going to talk about today. If you haven't done so yet, please go ahead and grab your cell phones if you are inside the United States of America. Text my name, A-N-N-I. Send it to the number 88202. This way you will be signed up for free to our text alert system. And whenever I go live on radio or Facebook or Will Johnson, whose program on ATP Radio is every Thursdays, when he goes live, you will get a notification on your cell phone so you will not miss our programming. Also, of course, don't forget to go to our website, americantruthproject.org. There are countless videos and podcasts and articles on programming there where you can get all the information you need to get on our five issues that we cover every day at ATP. Okay, so let's get us started. Most of you already know what I like to talk about, Sharia and Islam. There has been a lot going on as far as Islamization of our beautiful country, America, goes. The most recent one is now we have a permanent and lifetime federal judge confirmed by Senate, appointed by Joe Biden, who is a Muslim. Now, let me be very blunt here. I have no problem with the fact that he's a Muslim. I have a problem with the fact that he is a Muslim, and now he has a lifetime position in our government. Before anybody jumps to conclusion that I'm an Islamophobe, bigoted person, let me tell you why I have a problem with that. When anyone claims to be a Muslim, that translates by definition into someone who follows Islam and Sharia. Now, if you follow Islam and Sharia, there is absolutely no tangible way for you to be involved with the government of the United States of America. Why do I say that? Because under Sharia and under Islam, and remember, Sharia and Islam are two different pieces. Islam is Quran. Sharia is Quran, Muhammad's life, and Hadith, which makes Islamic laws. Under both those concepts, you cannot be involved with our government because under Islam and Sharia, as a Muslim, you are told by Allah and by Muhammad, you are not to obey disbelievers, nor are you to obey a leader's ruling in laws if they do not match Allah's law and Sharia. So, before I tell you where the conflict with Judge Zahid Qureshi of Pakistani parents come to play, let me prove my point. In Islam, which is the Quran part, or they like to say the religious part, if you would open chapter 33 in the Quran and read first verse, it says, O Prophet Muhammad, keep your duty to Allah and obey not the disbeliever and the hypocrites. Did you catch that? Now, let's talk about disbelievers. Who are the disbelievers? Disbelievers are those who are not Muslims. Now, let me ask you this. Our president is not a Muslim. Our vice president is a Muslim. Our Supreme Court judges, none of them are Muslims. Senate, no Muslim. Congress does have two Muslims, but that's not the majority. So by definition, the government of United States of America is a disbeliever government. So under this very solo verse of Quran, Judge Qureshi is not allowed to obey by the laws of our government. Now he's going to be a judge, a federal judge. He is a federal judge. So when it comes to doing his job, his duty, who is he supposed to keep his duty to? Chapter 33 says Allah. Keep your duty to Allah. So that's where the conflict comes in. If he's a Muslim, he cannot make any judgment or ruling in that court on that specific case based on our Constitution, because our Constitution is not obeying Allah. Right? Now let's talk about the Sharia aspect of it. Islamic laws. So if you would go to Sahih al-Bukhari, which is the only hadith collection I ever refer to, and you would open book 88, and you would read hadith number 258, here's what it says. It was narrated by Abdullah, but Abdullah says, the Prophet said, a Muslim has to listen to and obey the order of his ruler, wherever he, whether he likes him or not, as long as his orders involve not one in disobedience to Allah. But if an act of disobedience to Allah is imposed, one should not listen to or obey the leader. Same thing as that verse, isn't it? But I just wanted to make sure that Allah isn't the only one who said so. Muhammad said the same thing. This comes back to the misconception of Muhammad said you have to obey by the law of the land. As interesting enough, there's a website. You can check it out. Look up International Sharia Movement. No, I'm not kidding. There's a website called International Sharia Movement. On that website, if you would look up obey the law of the land circumstances of Islam, I will literally read off of this own website. This is an Islamic website. This was not written by some Islamophobe like me. This was written by Islamic imams. Here's where it goes. There is a common misconception among Muslims today that they are obligated to obey the law of the land in whatever country they reside. Many advocates or supporters of this call use Imam Abu Hanif as evidence. And indeed, Imam Abu Hanif did say, obey the law of the land. But the question is, which land? Was he living in the land of the Romans? Or was he living in the Islamic state? Therefore, which law was he saying we must obey? Interesting enough, within this very website, very piece of obey the law of the land, it brings up exactly what I brought up for you, the Quranic verses and the Hadith. After that, it goes to say, therefore, for Muslims living in countries not ruled by the Sharia, such as United States of America, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Pakistan, etc., it is essential to seek the knowledge of the Deen of Allah, a.k.a. Islam. Let me repeat, I am not reading off of Jihad Watch or American Truth Project or Bridget Gabriel or Pamela Geller or Annie Cyrus. No, 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 no. I am reading the website of International Sharia Movement. So on that note, the Muslim Judge Qureshi, who was just confirmed on Thursday by Senate, appointed or nominated by Joe Biden, it is essential for him to follow the Deen of Allah, a.k.a. Islam. Let me take a minute to be repetitive here to just make sure we're all on the same page. There is absolutely no possible way for a Muslim, whomever that Muslim might be, under teaching of Islam or under Sharia, aka Islamic laws, there is no way for a Muslim to be involved in lifestyle of a non-Islamic state lifestyle. So we are clear this far. We know that Mr. Qureshi, or Qureshi would be the proper pronunciation for me, claiming to be a Muslim and being a proud American federal judge does not fly. Now, I'm going to play both sides of this coin. One side, if I would contact somehow magically, I would get on the phone with Judge Qureshi, and I would say, Judge Qureshi, are you aware that under Sharia, that is your law as a Muslim, you are not allowed to obey the rules and regulations which you were trained and went to school for? He could say the following, what? What are you talking about? No, I didn't know. I'll send him the verses of the Quran and the Hadith by Muhammad, and he will call back and say, wait a minute, I wasn't informed because I'm one of those ignorant Muslims who just like to be a Muslim because it's a fashion nowadays. I get promotions and high levels of access to government because Biden doesn't want to be Islamophobe. Then I can tell him, well, why don't you come out and say, well, technically I'm not a Muslim because I'm completely fine with our constitution and I'm all Americanized, and let's see how many bounties are going to come on your head. Other side of the coin, he could say, yes, I'm very well aware of it, but I am practicing what you know of Taqiyya, and I am helping to continue the movement that is started with Hussein Obama, former president of the United States of America, called as political jihad. I know you're all with me on this. I know I don't have, I know I use sarcasm a lot. I have no other choice. Sometimes things are so painful, you gotta have to crack a joke about it. But you completely understand where I'm going with this. At the beginning, when we had Keith Ellison coming up, and then Ilhan Omar coming up, and then Rashida Tlaib coming up, and I'm like, okay, now we have the federal judge. And the question is, when are we going to stop, acknowledge, realize, and admit that the possibility of multiculturalism with Muslim community is not doable because every corner of their teaching tells them not to get along with us, tells them not to obey us, tells them to kill us, tells them to convert us. The fact that there are so many people out there celebrating that we made history. Yes, Judge Qureshi is the first Muslim federal judge with a permanent lifetime salary going off of my pocket and yours, where he's going to donate 5% of it to jihad. Oh, did I forget to mention that? He's a Muslim. He's going to have to pay 5% of his salary, Islamic tax, to his local mosque where the imam will decide which jihad they're going to donate it to. Icing on the cake, isn't it? Imagine. Because we pay his salary. We do. So technically, either we like it or not, we are all participating in financing the jihadis who are trying to kill us. This is so complicated that I have problem finding the head of the snake right now. Now, I'm guessing some of you might be asking, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. Please do remember, we the people. We the people. And I'll say it one more time because I'm OCD'd on number three. We the people have the power to petition our government for every single decision they make because based on our constitution, they work for us. all of us who have jobs, when we go to work, if we made a decision that our boss is not clear on or happy with, we will be asked, why did you do this? And if we don't have a reasonable explanation, we will either be fired, given a warning, or forced to reverse our action. The same system applies to American government. They work for us. We shall ask the question, demand an explanation. If we are not happy with an explanation they gave us, we do have the right to ask them to reverse that action. Now, it's a very simple question. Everybody has the right to write to Judge Qureshi asking, Judge Qureshi, based on your faith, as you call it, how are you going to uphold our Constitution, on our laws and orders, if your prophets and your Allah said you shall not do so? Are you going to denounce Sharia? Because I promise you, just like Rashida Tlaib, Keith Ellison, and Ilhan Omar didn't do so, Josh Qureshi isn't about to do that either. Now, out of curiosity, I'll put this out there. He was, supposedly, after September 11, he decided to join U.S. military. He did. And then in 2007, I believe, he was honorably discharged. I have not been able to find why. There is absolutely no record of the reasoning behind his honorably discharged from our military. And I know for a fact that's not some classified information. This honorably or not, when you're discharged, your record is public record. There are many places mentioned of his, you know, service to our country and the fact that he was honorably discharged, but no one has mentioned why. Because he was discharged honorably, I will say that, based on what they're saying. And then from there, his political career just picked up. Just picked up. Just like that. Boom. Go for it. So, yeah, we have yet another added problem to the list of our problems. And, yes, I will say this regardless of who thinks of what of me. When we have Muslims in our government, as I said, proven by evidence within Islamic teaching, we got a problem because we have disobedient members trying to get into our government. I will go as far as saying, the chances of them trying to infiltrate our government is higher than them just trying to be a good Muslim. And I will repeat, the fact that the first Muslim this, the first Muslim that, the fact that this Muslim tag is literally on their side tells me a lot. Because I will take you back to Quran. Chapter 47, verse 35, I believe, where it says, do not call for peace when you are the majority in numbers. Now, as I said, they are more than welcome to say, well, then there is another verse in Quran where it says, you know, if you kill a man, it's like you kill all men. And then I will come back and say, well, yes, but that verse starts with, oh, Bani Israel. It doesn't say, oh, Muslims. It says, oh, Bani Israel. Sons of Israel, if you kill a man, that means you killed all men. It doesn't say Muslims, it says Jews. So that doesn't even apply to you. I know your religion is supposedly the most peaceful, but it tells Jews not to kill people. It doesn't say Muslims don't kill people. Because within that very Quran, there are over 151 verses where it says kill them, kill them, kill them. Slay them wherever you find them. Behead them wherever you find them. Kill them wherever you find them. Kill them, kill them, kill them, kill them. 151 verses. So yes. Congratulations to us for sitting by, cheering on the Islamization of our government right in front of our eyes. And as I said, if you're just in case of screaming on your computer, your device, or your phone of, what do you want me to do? I told you. Write a letter, make a call Don't be afraid to call your representative, the senator who voted yes and confirmed him. Call them and tell them, let me know how you decided a Sharia-obeying man can follow our Constitution, because based on Quran chapter 33 and Sahih al-Bukhari book 88, he can't. I'm not kidding. Say those words. Tell them that you are very well aware of the teaching of his wonderfully peaceful religion, and you are terrified that if he decides to put his loyalty towards Muhammad and Allah, we are screwed. Because the same very Allah and Muhammad who is telling him not to obey the ruler of our country are also telling him to kill the non-believer. You know. But you put enough pressure, and as I said, this wasn't something that Biden used his executive pen to do, so I can't just say it was Biden. No, he was confirmed by Senate. 81-16. 81. Call those 81 senators and keep a straight face and tell them that you need to know why they were okay confirming a judge who claims to be a Muslim, which means he is obligated to Allah not to obey our Constitution, because half, excuse me, two-thirds of our Constitution goes against Allah. You know, we have freedom of religion. That is a huge no-no in Islam. Right there is enough for him not to follow the Constitution. How is he going to be not biased ruling if a non-believer is standing in front of him versus a Muslim? I personally need proof that he's going to disobey Allah and side with the non-believer if that is the truth of the case. But as I said, if he does that, then, well, based on the same very Quran, he shall be punished by death, because he's not a good Muslim anymore, right? He's not a believer anymore. I do apologize, as it was just mentioned to me that I forgot to mention, if you are listening and would like to call in with comments or questions, you can dial 516-595-8069. That number is 516-595-8069. Press 1. As I am the producer and the host at the same time, if you don't press 1, I won't know that you are wanting to come on air with me. And William, I see your comment on our chat. Hi back, and I'm glad you could join us today. So yes, that's all there is into the whole making history again with first Muslim American federal judge confirmed by our Senate. And as I said, I guess one thing that scares me also on top of everything else is the fact that there is not much you can find as far as his background goes. I normally don't like that. It's not a good sign when there isn't someone just random suddenly pops up and becomes the nominee or appointee, or I think it's a nominee is the right word, by Biden, and then gets confirmed. So, but I will have to move on to the next topic, because I cannot possibly ever go on air either video or radio and do not talk about Ilhan Omar. I have to do that. That's just like, that's my mission in life. Talk about Ilhan Omar. Now, this Judge Qureshi hasn't even started yet, so I can't say that's the worst part of what's happening with our country. But for real, you know you are in trouble when even Hamas comes after Ilhan Omar's comments. But that's where you sit and you think, you're like, what has happened to our Democratic Party? I mean, I understand it's not a Democrat Party anymore. I understand it's like socialist, Marxist, Islamist party at this point. But even that, so I'm positive, or I'm hoping that I should be positive, that you all heard about the comment Ilhan Omar made comparing United States of America and Israel to Hamas and Al-Qaeda. Just in case if you didn't, last week she came out and she said Israel and U.S. are just as much of a terrorist as Hamas and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And she did her famous complete, doesn't matter how many yards you stretch it, it still won't make the dot. Where do people go for justice? That was her ending comment. Let me start there. We have a congresswoman, United States of America's congresswoman, who stands there publicly and says America and Israel are just as much of a terrorist as Hamas and Al-Qaeda. Where do I begin? I think I just won't. The level of her hatred for America is so obvious that I still want to go dig in there and look at every single name who voted for her and go knock at their door and just ask them why. And after that, offer them a one-way ticket out of America. Because if you hate America so much that you're willing to vote for someone who I had the pleasure to call the enemy of the state, you should just get out. For real, get out. All of those Muslims who voted for her should definitely get out. Because there are 50 Islamic states. There are 50 Islamic, fully Sharia-ruling countries. They could go and enjoy Sharia. Right? And they wouldn't have to be attacking poor Muslims facing Islamophobia and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They could freely. Oh, no, wait, that's the problem. If they were living in an Islamic country, they couldn't be free. Bunch of hypocrites. Okay, I'm going to tone down the sarcasm here for a second, if I can manage, no promises. But so that's where this started. She actually did that. And funny enough, nobody went after her, of course. And by nobody, I mean Democrats. Nobody made her apologize because apology only belongs to Republicans and conservatives in this country. Liberals and Democrats are absolutely always right. They don't do anything wrong to apologize. Here I go again being sarcastic. See, I can't help it, guys. Sorry. I know you're all giggling anyway. So she got away with that comment until Hamas, one of the leaders of Hamas, came out and complain that how dare, now funny enough, when it gets to this point, they refer to her as American congresswoman, but then when it comes to her, she rather call herself the Muslim immigrant. They said that what she's done is comparing the terrorists and the victims, which is unforgivable. Now, let me be clear. They were referring to United States of America and Israel being the terrorists and Palestinians and apparently Hamas and Al-Qaeda members being victims. And even on that comment, nobody said anything. And this is where I say, last couple of weeks, I have found myself having a hard time finding the head of the snake. It just kind of feels like it's like 200 heads of a snake going on in our country, which, again, I understand most people prefer to be angry about it, but I feel like it's time for us to be terrified about it. Like, anger isn't going to go far. But if we would actually tangibly understand the danger and we would actually start being afraid of it, we would have a better chance of fighting it. But that's just a personal opinion. I might be very much wrong. But yes, after that, this was 3 days ago, I guess Ilhan Omar decided to make friends again with Hamas because she apparently pissed them off. Now, just a side note, if you missed that, when she was running originally, I think it was 2017 or 18, she got in 2018, I can't even remember when she got in. That's bad. Feels like she's been there since, I don't know, 1776. She always and always supported the terrorists and hated America. At some point, she tried to use her power to ask for forgiveness and pardon for people in her district who was trying to join ISIS. So my point is, she's very sad right now that Hamas is upset with her. So here what she did. She went ahead and retweeted a video. And the video originally was posted, I'm going to read her name. The video was originally posted by Marva Fatafat. I know that's a hard one to find. You can just look up Marva, M-A-R-W-A. If you read this report, the video is an anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian video, of course. But the video itself was made by a group, by an anti-Israel organization that was previously investigated by FBI for possible ties to ISIS. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a sitting president of United States of America banned from tweeting because he was mean, but we have our congresswoman retweeting and endorsing a video made by an organization that was investigated by FBI for possible ties to ISIS, and she's still tweeting. Now, let me rephrase that. What are we going to do about this? I'm not going to even ask when enough is enough, because I think about 10 years ago, enough was enough. So I'm not going to ask that. My question at this point, what are we going to do about this? Are we just going to say, oh, big tech is this and that? Because, yeah, big tech is absolute. I mean, I don't know if you know or not. I cannot go live for another 24 days because I had a 30-day ban on live feed on Facebook because I said something about Biden's handlers paying more money to Iran because Iran was behind the hashtag Hitler was right and hashtag kill all Jews. I was banned. I got banned for saying Iran was behind the hashtag. But when Ilhan Omar goes and retweets a video made by an organization with possible ties to ISIS, it's all good. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying big tech companies aren't ridiculously anti-American. My question is, what are we going to do about it? And my suggestion always, as I said, I'll go back to we the people, we the people, we the people. Pick up the phone, send an email, write a hand letter. I don't know how you want to do it, but sitting back and watching this all burn down, trust me, it's a matter of time until those flames are going to catch on to you and your life and your family and your freedom. And worse than that, the ashes are going to sit on the next generation. Remember, I was born after the invasion of my motherland. Revolution was completed. Country became Islamic in 1979. I was born in 1983. I paid the price. So if you think for a second your children are not going to face consequences, well, I'd like you to think again. Remember, 1979, revolution done, Islamic country, 1983, born, former child bride. Just keep that formula in mind if you don't mind keeping that. William just put on comment that big tech wants to see us mindless and obedient just like Islam does. That's very correct, William, because remember, big tech is not trying to be Islamic. Big tech is hoping for a communist Marxist system. However, if you look at Marxism, communism, and Islam, they have all one very common goal, which is, yes, you're blind, you're deaf, you have no brain, you're going to follow everything I'll tell you, otherwise you have no life. Yes, that's very correct. But then I will say this, even though big tech companies are trying to do that. To be fair, there are many organizations out there who are trying to put out the proper information. I will start with my very tiny self, Annie Cyrus. Then I'm going to go with Robert Spencer, Jamie Glasshouse, David Horowitz Freedom Center, Jihad Watch, American Truth Project. There are information out there. I think, not you, William, because I know you're very well informed. We've been friends for many years now. But majority of people are unfortunately suffering from being too lazy to go dig deeper. They have turned their face away from the fire thinking, if I don't see it, it's not happening. It is happening. Either we face it or not, either we deny it or not, even either we like it or not, it is happening. Well, let me rephrase that. It happened. The fire is burning. The question is, are we going to put it out or are we just going to sit by and let it consume everything around it? That's how I look at it. We got to do what we got to do. And again, I am, for anyone who's going to grab this sentence and run with it, I am completely and directly referring to our God-given rights. We have God-given rights that if we would practice them, we could put out this fire. But the question is, are there enough of us who are willing to spend an hour or two a day to get well-informed? Or are we all going to rely on the next person to do it for us? Because right now, first, it was the whole, election. We got fired up for a couple of weeks, and then we all went on home. And then, the level of anti-Semitism. And now let me explain this. A lot of people do ask me, why do you just stick with what's happening in America? It's we shouldn't mind what's happening in the Middle East. I agree. We should definitely butt out. As an Iranian-American, I completely agree. Military-wise, we need to butt out of Middle East. However, there is butting out, and then there's butting out. Let me tell you what I mean. Recently, while Hamas was attacking Israel, as soon as Israel had the upper hand to put an end to Hamas, Biden requested ceasefire. That's when we should have butt out. It absolutely was none of our business to butt in. None. Israel had the chance to put an end to Hamas. We bought it in. We asked for ceasefire. And for whatever reason that I don't understand, they decided to agree. Ceasefire until the next time, right? Until the next day. That's the butting out I'm talking about. Now, the reason we should let Israel do what they need to do is, remember, regardless of what fake news tells you, regardless of what mainstream media might make up, Israel has been, and is the only ally we have in the Middle East. I don't care who we're making deals with. Actually, I'm lying. I very much do care who we're making deals with. I would prefer if we didn't make deals with them. And yes, I'm talking about my motherland. We should absolutely, under no circumstances, make deals with Iran. As I just said, I got banned on Facebook. That post was removed. But the trending hashtag on Twitter that was hashtag Hitler was right and hashtag kill all Jews started with Iran. Then these are the people that Biden and his handlers and Kamala cannot wait to trip over each other to get to the negotiation table with. That does not make them our allies. Please keep that in mind. Same thing with Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, you name them. They are not our allies. And I'll tell you why. I told you why at the beginning of this program. They're not our allies because they cannot be our allies. Israel is our only and true ally. So we should back him up. And for people like Ilhan Omar or Biden or Kamala or anyone else who's out there screaming, Israel is the terrorist, may I remind you that Israel was retaliating Well, if you call that retaliation. They didn't start that tax. Never have. I don't think they ever will. There is such a thing as the international law that is, if you're attacked, you have the right to retaliate. That's just the way war works. So Israel was retaliating that day. And let's not mention the fun part of poor Palestinians, blah, blah, blah. May I again remind everybody, this wasn't Palestinians and Israel. This was Hamas attacking Israel. Had nothing to do with Palestinians. So, yes, I go back to what I said that got me another ban a few weeks ago, that this is not an Israel conflict with Palestinians. No, this is Islam hating Jews conflict. But then again, if they would tell the truth, and by they, I mean the mainstream media, the fake news, the government, any of them would actually come out and say, yes, let's face the truth. Bottom line is this is Islam-hating Jews conflict. Then, you know, that wouldn't work out. It just wouldn't fit their narrative. So they're going to make up whatever it is. What is it they say? Oh, poor Palestinians are innocent people are dying. Innocent Palestinians are dying. While Hamas is killing innocent Israelis, right? But then we all know, again, in their eyes, being Islamic eyes, if you're not a Muslim, your life isn't worth anything anyways. And as far as the leftist goes, well, they don't care. Where's the money? That's all they care for. They don't even care for American life, let alone Israeli life. So what am I talking about? I don't know. But that was just a quick me getting sidetracked, but yeah, quick hint to say, let's be very clear, regardless of what they're trying to feed you as far as information goes, I can guarantee you the only ally we do have in the Middle East is Israel. The rest of them are not our allies. However, I will do another program where I will cover the issues with this nuclear deal they're trying to make with Iran. Again, legacy of Hussein Obama, by making the worst embarrassing deal of our history. They're just trying to beat that, I guess, to make it more embarrassing. But back to America and our Islamic government. It feels like no matter what, of course, as you know, I always say the only supremacy we have in America is not white or black or brown or pink. It's Islamic. Yes, we are facing Islamic supremacy in America. And the only privilege we have is Muslim privilege. And again, the reason for that is if in any shape or form, remember when they twisted things, and went after Congresswoman Marjorie Greene? Do you remember that? Oh, they made her apologize and all that good 9 yards for anti-Semitic comments she made. Pardon me as I'm losing my voice apparently. But Ilhan gets to say whatever she wants, she gets to retweet. Again, a video made by anti-Israel, publicly anti-Israel organization under investigation, and she gets to be cheered on. I'm guessing she's receiving flowers in her office too. Yeah, I'm probably over-exaggerating, but the situation is so dramatic that there is no over-exaggeration, right? In the history of our country, we never had anyone get so many free passes for hating. And then she is the one who stands there and says she's receiving hate since the day she walked in. The same thing with her partner, Rashida Tlaib. Both of them, from the moment they walked in, they have been literally getting away with everything. Everything negative. Everything that no one else would get away with. Now, the only thing they have different from the rest of the team is they're Muslim. So that is where I say we have Muslim privilege in this country. And, of course, Islamic supremacy, because any case, anywhere, anyone says anything that does not fit with the narrative of Islam, then we are the guilty party automatically. We are. You're either pro-Islam or you are a bigoted Islamophobe, hateful, guilty party. That's just the norm of the day. And again, what are we doing about it? Nothing. If I had a penny, not a dollar, if I had a penny for every time someone on my Facebook page said, this is so true, but I can't post it, Annie. I'm going to get banned. Or I can't post it. I don't want to lose my page. I can't post it because my sister is a Democrat. I can't post it because my brother-in-law is going to get upset. And you get where I'm going with this. Even if I had a penny for it, yeah, I probably wouldn't need a job. That's where we are at fault. We are taking it. We know what they're feeding us, which is poison. And we are willingly drinking the Kool-Aid because we want to be cool. There is no shame in telling the truth, knowing you did your part. Especially when you cheer people like me on. I'm going to be very, very harsh here. You all send me kind words every day. You're brave and we are proud of you and keep up the fight, but then we're not behind you. You know, you just keep up the fight. You get banned on Facebook. You lose your Facebook page. You lose your Instagram page. But it's all good. You do it. We're all going to sit here and keep our pages so we can post pictures of our puppy and new car and summer vacations. Because that's the importance of life right now. It is. Because when Islam takes over, you don't get to have puppies because dogs are filthy under Islam, so you won't get to have puppies. So, yeah, I would suggest to start posting more puppy pictures. And your summer vacations are out the door, and all the ladies out there with their bikinis, well, you're going to be wearing a hijab. So, yeah, I get it. It's important to take advantage of what little time we have left on social media because we are handing over our freedom. Because God forbid if somebody would label us an Islamophobe, you know. Sometimes, as I said, I don't know which side I'm more angry with. Is it the left, the apologetic Biden administration? Or is it my side of real, true Americans who are sitting by waiting for Annie Cyrus to do it? And Dr. Bill Warner and Barry Nussbaum and Robert Spencer and on and on and on, everybody else. Listen, they're going to take us out one by one. Then what? Then what? Let's be honest. Then what? Right now, if you go on Facebook, open your search, type in the full word Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer's Jihad Watch page won't come up. It will not come up. Unless you have the actual direct URL to their Facebook page, they are that badly shadow banned. Then what? I will actually use this. I should probably check and see how much time I have. Okay, I have about 10 minutes. That's not bad. I will use this moment to say, a lot of time I get the question, why, Annie, why do you keep asking us to sign up? Well, this would be why. You know, right now I'm banned on live feed. Where do we go? We go on radio. I'm pretty sure 9 out of 10 people on my page have no idea I'm on radio right now because they weren't signed up to our text alert, so they didn't get the notification. And Facebook didn't tell them that I posted a poster saying, hey, guys, I'm on radio today. That would be why. That's free sign up. I'm sure we're signed up to way too many things that we're signed up to. So if you're not signed up, grab your cell phone, send a text message. The number you're sending it to is 88202. The message you're sending to that number is my name, A-N-N-I. Now, you know what? Today I'm going to ask you to do me a bigger favor. If you are already signed up, next time you see your friends or you put a post on your page, put this post up. Say, hey, guy, I know this former child bride ex-Muslim who's starting a weekly radio show to tell us that Judge Qureshi ain't going to protect us because he's a Muslim and Allah told him not to. So sign up her name, Annie, to 88202. You get notification when she goes on her own radio until she's back on Facebook. But yeah, I'm off for a month. That's a lot of stuff that's going to happen that I need to talk to you guys about. And, yeah, while I'm at it and I'm all fired up about letting you know all about our, it's so hard to say this, the Biden administration being apologetic, because they are. They are. At this point, I don't believe for a second Biden has a clue what Sharia even is. Well, I mean, come on. The guy doesn't know the difference between his wife and sister. To ask him to know what Sharia, that's asking way too much. I just can't help it, can I? I've got to go sarcastic. Okay? Okay. On the note of him being just ignorant, and most of his people being ignorant, there's literally just appointing and assigning and giving all these Muslims coming in into power because he's told to. Remember, he's just a puppet. I'm going to read this to you. This was posted on New York Post by John Levine on June 12th, being 2 days ago. President Biden issued a statement Saturday commemorating the five-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando, Florida, just in case you don't know. This is when the Muslim guy walked into a gay club and started shooting people, killing people, terrorizing people. The attack by gunman Omar Mateen left 49 dead at the gay club, marking it the deadliest act of Islamic terror on U.S. soil since September 11. Now, Mateen himself was shot dead that night. In the coming days, now, this is what Biden said, quote unquote, I'm reading his exact writing, guys. In the coming days, I will sign a bill designating Pulse nightclub as a national memorial, enshrining in law what has been true since that terrible day 5 years ago. Pulse nightclub is hallowed ground. That's all he had to say about it. There was no mention of Mateen being a Muslim. There was no mention of, since I'm making a deal with Islamic Republic of Iran, 2 days before Mateen went killing them, an Iranian imam that had a visa came to Florida, gave a speech to Mateen's mosque and told them, for their own sake, you shall kill them. None of that was mentioned. None of them. Even Mateen's name wasn't mentioned. It was just a random act of some crazy guy who went and killed all these people. Seriously? Seriously? And these are the times I'm like, can somebody go to him and say, hello, Mr. Biden, since you care so much about Pulse nightclub. By the way, if I'm mispronouncing the nightclub, you all know what I'm saying. Since you care so much about people who died there, why are you going to make a deal with the government that send an imam here to tell Mateen to go kill him? Is that something you would like to explain? Funny enough, when it did happen, I jumped on a live feed and I screamed. I said, I watched the video of this imam telling these people in the mosque that to put gay people out of their own misery, you should go kill them. Took about 2 months for FBI to say there was such a imam. They revoked his visa and banned him from ever entering the country again. Now, again, I'll go back to the question of this imam is part of the government we're making a deal with. After we make a deal with them, they're going to send 10 more of those imams into our country. They're going to preach to 10 more Mateens to go kill people. And what? We're just going to make every single one of those nightclubs in the future as memorial ground? Is that how it's going to work? And we're going to just feel good about ourselves? Because apparently that's what we do. We hide the truth. You know, that's just a norm. Doesn't matter who's where, what. Whenever an Islamic attack happened, the very first confusion the entire FBI has is we don't know the motive. And they never find out the motive. Never. Ever. Like, the only investigation in the history of FBI in America that never finds any motive behind are Islamic attacks. That's just like, I think if you would read, pardon me for laughing, but it's so stupid. If you would read their, you know, the handbook of training is, if the name of the attacker is Islamic, motive unknown. Like, that's it. Motive unknown. Just like they removed every reference to Islam and Muslims and jihad and terror from the FBI training, right? But yes, I figured I'm going to close it on this glorious and wonderfully written note by Joe Biden in 5-year anniversary of innocent people dead because an Iranian Shia imam said so. I know I sound like a broken record and to some people like a traitor because I talk bad about my own motherland. Well, I like to make a quick note here. I don't talk bad about Iran. I talk the truth about the regime that has invaded my motherland since 1979. There's a huge difference. Iran is gorgeous. Iranian people, good people. Very good people, actually. Their hospitality will amaze you, and they're happy, and they dance and sing, and they're bubbly and all that. However, the regime in control of the country is evil. It is evil. And the fact that the Biden administration, again, is even considering to sit down and negotiate with them gives me nightmares. It does. But I am running almost out of time here. And see, there you go. William just said, yes, the only way I knew you're going on air today was via your text alert. So let's repeat this one more time if you haven't done so yet. Grab your cell phone and text my name. That is ANNI. Send it to 88202. You will be signed up for free to our text alert system. However, if you don't want to use the text system, that is not a problem. All you got to do is go to our website. That is AmericanTruthProject.org. AmericanTruthProject.org. We do have email sign up for free as well on our website. You can sign up there and you get all of our information for absolutely free on your inbox using the email. Now, all the free stuff aside, we are almost also a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we do what we do based on all of your donations, which are 100% tax deductible. If you want to also support us financially, you can do that on our website as well, AmericanTruthProject.org. There's a button that says donate. Click on that. That will take you to our PayPal page where you can make 100% tax deductible donation. And yeah, that's about it. That's all for today. I'm rushing. I think I got like 30 seconds left. No, I have more than that. I will be back next Monday. So tell your friends, tell them to sign up or just let them know to follow our Blog Talk Radio right here. So they don't miss my future episodes. Also remember, we have the one and only Will Johnson, whose radio runs on this very channel every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So tune in next Thursday to hear Will Johnson and next Monday to hear me. I will keep you all posted on the live feed on Facebook situation. In the meantime, I want you to please contact your representative, specifically contact your senators, and tell them to explain why they were okay with confirming a Muslim judge being Judge Qureshi. Until the next time, you all stay safe, stay vigilant, and I will talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye.